Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Christmas time is Amazon time. And shopping Amazon this holiday season through our website or our app is not only the easiest way to shop, it's the easiest way to support TMOS. It changes nothing for you, but it means the world to us. Thanks for helping us out, and have a Merry Christmas.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Earlier today, we're doing something a little different out of sequence on the Mike O'Mara Show for you. We had a chance earlier today to have a wonderful chat with Mr. Bill Kinison, who is the brother of one of my all-time favorite stand-up comedians who we lost, believe it or not, 25 years ago, Sam Kinison. We went into this interview hoping to take a little trip down memory lane, and it ended up being one of the most interesting conversations we've had. There's a lot of fascinating stuff. If you're a Sam Kinison fan, if you're a Big Sam fan, Big Bad Sam, I urge you to check this out, because really, what a great chat it was with the brother of Sam Kinison. So we've got that for you now. Sit back, enjoy, and this is the Mike O'Mara Show and our chat with the brother of Sam Kinison, the late great, and Bill Kinison, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I urge everybody in our listening audience to do a little surfing and look up Sam Kinison on YouTube and check him out, because I will tell you something. After knowing that I was going to have Sam's brother Bill Kinison on the show, I did a deep dive, which I've done on my own many times before, of Sam Kinison. And you want to talk about stand-up material that holds up after years and years, the Sam Kinison stuff. I was laughing, unhinging my jaw, much to the chagrin of my wife, I should add, when she said, "Why are you laughing so hard at that?" Because it's true! There is a wonderful documentary, I Am Sam Kinison. It's going to be on Spike TV December 19th at 10 p.m. Then they're going to necessarily run the uncensored version at 12 midnight. And Bill Kinison, the brother manager of the late comedian, confirms that Sam is just as popular now as he has been. And believe it or not, this is hard for me to believe, Bill, that it's been 25 years since we lost your brilliant brother. Bill Kinison joins us now. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, it's great to be invited onto your show. I'm excited about it. And yeah, 25 years, man.
Yeah, you sound like your brother, and I'm sure you get that all the time, that you sound like your brother. There was... When Sam Kinison, and I'm old enough to remember when Sam Kinison hit the national stage, that I love actors and comedians that bring a little sense of danger, and there's a little sense of danger around your brother that he brought to the stage. Did you know early on, growing up with Sam, that that he had this kind of spark, that this was something that that he was going to be able to, you know, do successfully?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, we were Pentecostal preachers' kids, and when you're raised in a family that your dad's the pastor and you're a male, it's you know, they don't tell you, but you have this psychology that, well, you're in this family because God wants you to preach, and so that's really what you know, that we all thought. And I had three brothers, and we all three or four ended up preaching. And then Sam just wasn't very good as a preacher. And then he ended up in divorce, and in our circles, that was the worst thing that could happen to you. I mean, you was out of the ministry, everything. And he came up to the church I was pastoring and told me what happened. And then I told him, I said, you know what, take some time and forget your brothers are preachers and all your friends and your dad and everything, and look down in your heart and see what you really want to do. And he took about 3 seconds, said, "I want to be a stand-up comedian." And that's the first time that I ever I ever thought about it being a stand-up. But he was always, you know, just a little off growing up in life.
Now, were you his manager for his entire stand-up career? Did you go on the whole ride with Sam?
Yep. Yep, I did. And it was a ride.
It was a ride. Just the look. I mean, Sam Kinison, not only the material, but the look he had, you know, where he went through the different incarnations and he had the long overcoat that he would perform with. What was the deal with the
beret?
This is minutiae here, but what was the deal with the long overcoat that he wore on stage? When I look at that being a fat guy, I would say that had to be hot on being on stage in that coat. Why did he wear the long overcoat, Bill?
Well, you're going to love the answer. He was dating Richard Widmark's daughter, Jana Widmark.
Wow.
And we decided to take this opportunity. We didn't know it was an opportunity. Rodney Dangerfield had to literally talk us into it. We had thought it was a contest. So we were just going to New York to get a free trip. And so Sam steals Richard Widmark's coat for good luck that he wore on a Matlock or whatever the show was.
That is a good answer. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
wow.
The truth, man. That's how you know what's funny is you're the first ever in all these years to ask me about the coat.
Hey, good job. So he stole Richard Widmark's like stage coat that he wore in a Matlock episode, and he brought that up on stage. And was it at Dangerfield's at the time that he performed it the first time in that coat?
Yep.
Wow. And Rodney loved him. Rodney loved Sam Kinison, and he performed at Dangerfield's. Obviously, Rodney had him in the film Back to School. Rod grabbed some tape. Bill, we're going to play a clip. This is for people that really, I mean, it's 25 years, a long time. There are people in our audience that haven't heard. This is a clip from Sam Kinison in Back to School, where Sam is playing the Vietnam veteran teacher that loses. It's basically Sam's character in a movie. Bill, I'm going to play this clip. Listen up to this right now.
I was up to my knees in rice paddies while pussies like you were back there partying, listening to the goddamn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the brick and nuke them back into the Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why. Say it. Say it.
Oh my God, that's a clip from his film. So Sam,
all of that was improv, by the way.
Wow.
The movie had already been shot, and Rodney wanted to put Sam in it. And so they shot all of Sam's scenes in Malibu, all improv with no scripts.
Wow, best part of the movie, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely incredible. And but it's no secret, Bill, when we talk about Sam Kinison, you have to talk about the good and the bad. But the fact is that it was life in the fast lane. It's been well documented that Rodney, he lived in the fast lane. And your brother Sam, was it because of the preacher background, because of, growing up in that kind of restricted environment that you think he kind of, he wanted to experiment with drugs and live life in the fast lane? It was the drugs, the women, it was quite a fast lifestyle. Were you close to that and involved with that as well?
I wasn't involved in it. Sam never had a drink till he was 25 years old.
Wow.
And it got into comedy. I never had one. But the problem with Sam was he had an addictive personality.
Right.
And when he got out of the ministry, as he used to say in the interviews, I wanted to taste it all, and he did. But that wasn't good when you had an addictive personality, because he didn't know where the line was. And so most of the stories you hear about partying and everything else were true. I mean, he was a handful.
But he was a handful. What was the, because I don't remember, because it's too long ago, I'm trying to remember. Was he, when it came to the actual performances, like showing up for gigs and doing gigs, was he okay in that department? Because I don't remember reading a lot of that. I know that, certainly after he passed, we heard a lot about Sam's lifestyle. But was he responsible when it came to, like, getting the job done, doing the work that he was supposed to do?
I was responsible.
Okay. I'll give that. You'd wake him up and get him.
Sam just partied, but no, we didn't miss shows, and because of the reputation, I just thank God TMZ wasn't around back in those days. And all these cell phones.
Oh, but, yeah, I bet.
But I mean, when all the stories of him partying you know, would get out, and they were true stories. He got the reputation that, you know, he couldn't show for work. And it really, it made it tough for, well, to break into TV and to do movies and stuff. But he never missed, you know, he never missed any gigs or any, you know, places that he was supposed to be.
You mentioned that you were responsible, and we've also mentioned that you have an eerie similarity in your voice to your brother. I heard a rumor some years back that while he might have never missed a gig, that you did occasional phone interviews as your brother. Is that true, or am I remembering that wrong?
Oh, my God, what a great question.
That is true. That is true.
That is
that
great.
Started in Austin, Texas. We were doing a show, and Sam had been partying, and the promoters were good friends of ours. And so they called and said, you know, we need Sam to do the afternoon drive times. And so I'm telling them that it's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And so Steve Libator and Ray Hale, which was also Jerry Lee Lewis's manager, were the promoters.
Oh, boy.
So they was like, Bill, why don't you do it? And I go, I can't do it. And they said, no, man, you sound like him. You got to do it. We need some help on this show. And somehow they talked me into it. And so then it was like, hey, man, this is Sam Kinison.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
We went on. So we did the show. I walked up 1,000 people off the interviews. And once Sam figured out that I had done it and got away with it, you very seldom got Sam on the radio.
Wow.
That is, I had no idea. I'm looking back, I'm saying, did we ever interview Sam back in the day?
I'm not curious sure if we're actually talking to Bill Kinison right now.
Hey, Bill, I know you got a lot of stuff going on with this press release that I'm reading. I know that the book is Brother Sam, The Short Spectacular Life of Sam Kinison. I get the impression, just by talking to you briefly, that you know, you love being around him, but there was a lot of love between you and your brother, which of course meant that the passing of Sam had to be a gut shot, just one of the most amazingly devastating things in your life. Talk about the end and how that all went down and what happened and how you felt about when we lost Sam. And how old was Sam when he passed, Bill?
He was 38.
38 wow. years old.
Young
he
man.
Passed a really, you know, even with a fast lifestyle, you might have had people say, well, with that lifestyle. But he really, it was a shock to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sam dying wasn't a shock. If you knew Sam.
Right.
It's the way that he died. I really expected, you know, one day to walk into a hotel room or go up to his house and he'd be on the floor. And, Then he made a real drastic change in his lifestyle. In the last year and a half, he was fairly clean. I mean, except for once every 3 or 4 months, and so he had cleaned up.
What was his drug of choice? What was the drug that he liked the best?
You know what? His problem was really alcohol.
Okay.
I mean, he would do blow, and that was about as, you know, other than smoking marijuana, which now I guess is no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he would do cocaine. But he could quit that, and, you know, in a second. It was the alcohol he had the trouble with.
And so he's pretty much off of it in the last year and a half. He was staying pretty clean?
Yeah. Yep. And so he got married, married his longtime girlfriend. They went to Hawaii on their honeymoon. He flew back, took the red eye back from Hawaii. We had to do a weekend at Laughlin, Nevada. And that was for me to sign a contract. That was our last casino town to have contracts with her. I had just signed a 3-movie deal with New Line.
Wow.
I had just got his own TV series on Fox called the Sam Kinison Family Entertainment Hour.
Oh, man.
So we had done all this, you know, while in that 5 days that he was on his honeymoon. And he came back that morning. He was supposed to fly over there to Vegas, and then they'd pick him up in a limo, take him down to Laughlin, and he decided he wanted to drive because he always thought he'd die in a plane crash. And so so we met up at Barstow, California, and drove over. The day was the day was a little weird. I mean, just a little weird day. Just, you know, things he would say.
Okay.
And about the last gas station before you got on River Road to go 20 miles to Laughlin, we pulled in. He had to get gas. And he did a few strange things. Like, we had driven all this way. We got 20 miles to go, and now he wants all the stuff out of his car. And so they emptied the car, and he had this dog named Russo that was a poodle that was totally untrained. But Sam went everywhere with this dog. And so he had us take the dog and put it in the van I had rented. And then he pulled out in front of me, which he never did. Usually he didn't know where we were going. And went 3 miles and got hit head on by a young kid driving an old pickup. And Sam was in a fiberglass Trans Am special edition. And they got hit head on, and I was driving behind him, and I slid the van up as close as I could get, jumped out, and I'm a little guy, but I guess the adrenaline and stuff, I jerked his door open, and he started telling me at that point that, why now? Why now, brother? Why now? And I'm telling him, you know, just lay still. We got help on the way, which I didn't know. We were in a dead area back then. And he kept scooting to get out of the car, which was just mangled. And so we laid him there on the ground in between the door and the car. And next thing he said after that was, I don't want to die. But he really wasn't, at that point, he wasn't talking to us. But we didn't know he was dying. All of his injuries were internal. And so we didn't know, we knew we were in trouble, but we didn't know he was dying.
Wow.
And his eyes weren't, you know, rolled back or glassy or anything over, but he was looking at something or someone. And he goes, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And then all of a sudden he went, okay, and then that was it.
Oh, my God. Wow. Unbelievable. I remember hearing, reading about this, the fact that he did not look bad, and you obviously confirmed that that story. I want to get back to the taking everything out of the car. Do you think that he was... was there any chance that he did this intentionally, you think? Or is that a possibility even?
Yeah, I think he had had a premonition that something was going to happen to him. The last couple months was just, I remember at Christmas we were in San Antonio, Texas, and it was just a couple days before Christmas, the last flight we could get out. We'd done a show. And I went up the next morning to get him about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he hadn't been to bed, and he opened the door, and he'd been crying. And I said, you know, what's going on, man? We got to catch a plane, so what's going on? And I have a daughter named Ginger, and Sam just idolized Ginger. She was just a little thing at that time. And he just idolized her, and so he told me, he said, I don't have a Ginger.
Oh.
And I go, what are you talking about? I don't have a Ginger. I said, well, okay, I've got a Ginger. You don't have one. What are you talking about? And he said, I don't have anybody to live for. Wow. And so he ended up not making the flight, and somehow he got a different flight because I was going home to be Christmas with my daughter. But we had that, and I remember when we met with the New Line executives, and they wanted to see Sam, so he came to this meeting. And in the middle of the meeting, he gets up and says, you know, it all sounds great if you work out a deal with my brother, we're in business, and leaves. And this is what, you know, this is what we had been working for.
Was it unusual? Was that standard operating procedure for him, or was it a departure? Now that you had this massive deal, this great cinematic deal with Sam Kinison, was it unusual that he was just taking it for granted, or do you think that was just standard behavior, or was he losing interest?
I think that I just think he thought something was going to happen. When we got out of the meeting, you know, I called him and said, "Hey, you know, what's going on? You walk out in the middle of the meeting, the guys are, you know, wanting to make sure you're on board and everything." He said, no. I said, "I was sitting there, and it dawned on me, man, I've achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. I have to set some new goals." And that just wasn't him, and not counting. I don't care if he'd been clean or not. If there was ever a time Sam was going to party, that would have been it.
Wow.
You're getting a three-movie deal with Schwarzenegger and Rick Moranis and stuff, and that would have been it. And he didn't do it at all. He just went home.
Well,
so just weird things was happening that I can't say he knew he was going to die, but I think he knew something was going to happen to him.
It's fascinating, Bill. We're talking with Bill Kinison, the brother of Sam Kinison, 25 years ago. This year we lost Sam, and just the details. Book is Brother Sam, The Short Spectacular Life of Sam Kinison. Where's that stand with that book? Are we going to be seeing that coming out anytime soon from a major publisher?
Yeah, we'll probably get another book deal. We have the movie will probably go in production next year. And so because it's a bit out of print, it was a bestseller. It's a fantastic book if you've ever had a chance to read it. It's a good read. It's very honest. You know, it isn't a fluff job. It's very honest with Sam and
I get that from talking to you, Bill. I really do. I get that talking to you. The documentary is I Am Sam Kinison. That's going to be on Spike TV on December 19th. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. They'll run the uncensored version at 12. That's obviously with Sam stand-up. That's when you really...
Important,
And once again, Bill, if you don't mind, one last little clip of when I fell in love with your brother's stand-up when he did. This is a clip about talking. This was the edgiest thing. There were millions of edgy things. Sam Kinison invented edginess as far as I was concerned. But this part where he's talking about world hunger and the bravery that he had in stand-up to tackle subjects like this, this was one where I unhinged my jaw. Play the clip of him talking about world hunger. I think this is a classic right here.
Like this world hunger thing, I'm really involved with it. Want to do something about world hunger? Stop sending them food. Send them U-Hauls. Send them boxes, you know, some luggage. Send them a guy there who goes, "Hey, hey, you know, we just drove 750 miles across the desert with your food, and it occurred to us that there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! You live in a desert! You understand that? You live in a desert!"
Oh, my God. Bill, it's just... I've never seen stand-up. There are two people where I think the stand-up holds, George Carlin and your brother. And I wish you nothing but the very best. That was probably some of the most riveting radio that I've gotten a chance to hear, where you were talking about Sam at the end of his life. And obviously you have a lot of love. Is there anything I'm leaving out? Because I want to make sure you get all the plugs in for what's coming up before we let you go. Because you and there's the laugh. That's why you did the interviews on the radio sounding
right.
Like Sam.
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm leaving out? There's a lot going on, Bill. Anything I'm missing?
No. We got a lot of stuff going, but this documentary, I just want to say that, you know, I've been involved just on Sam, three other documentaries that one of them won all kinds of awards, but I've been in the producing end ever since Sam died, which is the last 25 years. This is the best documentary I have ever seen on anybody. And you got great interviews, but the thing about this documentary is that Sam carries it. Most documentaries, you know, it's whoever you get to talk about them. No. When you see this, Sam carries the documentary. You got some great footage from Charlie Sheen, Ted Nugent, Tommy Chong, Judy Tenuta, Bob Saget. It goes on and on. But Sam carries the documentary, and I'm not just telling you to puff this thing up. It is the best.
No, I'm not. I believe you. I think you're an honest guy. I get that from talking to you in 5 minutes.
It's really worth seeing.
I am Sam Kinison on Spike TV, December 19th at 10, uncensored version at 12. What a fascinating conversation with you, Bill, and I wish you nothing but success. And I think your brother would be proud of what you're doing to keep his name out there. And really, what a wonderful chat we had. And good luck to everything in the future, Bill. And I hope when the book comes out again or anytime you want to come on the Mike O'Mara Show, we'd love to have you.
Anytime you want me, I'd be glad to be there. You guys have been great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Kinison, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's
Merry
awesome.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
That's a wow. Okay. We're going to take a break now, but man, I got to.
Riveting.
I was so fascinated when we lost Sam. I heard so many. Everybody's always heard the stories, and they were kind of floating around in rumor fashion, but to hear the brother, oh my God, telling that story where, you know, my sister was an EMT, and she referred to something as the paper bag effect, which is probably what the deal was with the internal organs. You can get into a car wreck, you walk up to a car wreck, somebody looks like they're completely unscathed and all the damage is inside, and that's exactly what
the story about
to
that dog that is so odd.
That's fantastic. Eerie. We will take a break and we will come back with more of the Mike O'Mara Show right after this, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, young lady, what's your name?
Susan Walker. What's yours?
Mine? Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus. Oh, you don't believe that, do you?
Mm-mm. You see, my mother's Mrs. Walker, the lady who hired you.
Oh.
But I must say you're the best looking one I've ever seen.
Really?
Your beard doesn't have one of those things that goes over your ears.
Well, that's because it's real. Just like I'm really Santa Claus. Now, what would you like me to bring you for Christmas?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come now, you must want something.
Whatever I want, my mother will get for me. If it's sensible and doesn't cost too much, of course.
Susie,
where are you?
Susie,
I'm upstairs!
Calm right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. Yes, you know better than
yes.
that.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. Oh, you were right, Mommy. Mommy told me if things don't turn out just the way you want them to the first time, you still got to believe. And I kept believing, and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Where are you going?
To see if there's a swing.
You told her that?
I never really doubted you. It was just my silly common sense.
It even makes sense to believe in me now. I must be a pretty good lawyer. I'd take a little old man and legally prove to the world that he's Santa Claus. Now, you know that...
Kane in the corner.
No,
Kane in the corner.
Be. It must have been left here by the people that moved out.
No, it's Santa's Kane!
Maybe. Maybe I didn't do such a wonderful thing after all.
Yeah, baby.
This is Wade Byard, the public information officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. I'll spare you all the other stuff because we're running late already. I have to tell you, there is, you know, you hear me rail against Rudolph, but I will tell you, Miracle on 34th Street, there is the most anti-capitalism, wonderful
it's the
tribute
whole basis
to
of it.
Fantasy and whimsy, and, you know, it's just, it's wonderful. It's a delightful film.
Thank Miracle on 34th Street. You give us our money back.
Yeah, and it shows what scumbags like Gimble and Macy were, right?
Yeah, well, Macy was a jerk and Gimble was a jerk. Yeah, they were both.
They're both jerks. Yeah. The store owners are humps, and then it's just Kris Kringle, the fantasy character, is just wonderful.
Have you watched it yet this year?
No, I have not had the pleasure. I'll probably watch it when my daughter arrives on Sunday. She's coming into town, my top three
Christmas movies. Always has been.
I love that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. You can reach us anytime, but we're not doing that today. Anyway, I want to mention our show is brought to you by Hims. Men, here's a question for you. How do you look? Well, now you can look your best thanks to Hims, a new wellness brand for men. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness just for men. Thanks to science, baldness is optional. You don't have to lose your hair. Keep your hair in spite of your genetics, those faulty genetics you have. That's a joke. I'm kidding, of course. Hims has FDA-approved well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair, not herbal supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science.
Science!
There's no waiting room and no awkward doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. Just answer a few quick questions. The doctor will review your case and prescribe you exactly what you need, and it's delivered directly to your door. Order now. Our listeners get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 today. Right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's forhims.com/TMOS. Look better, feel better, and do better with Hims. 4hims.com/TMOS. And we thank you. I'm sitting there going, why am I having a hard time with that? I'm having a hard time because I don't have my spectacles.
Hey, you better put on your glasses.
Carla, can I have my glasses, please?
You need your readers. You don't wear for distance, do you?
I don't know what I wear them to read.
They're the readers. You know, distance.
As a matter of fact, really, I mean, to be honest with you, if you see, you know, if you get a close up of my eyes here.
You look fine, Igor.
It's just a little. Hey, that was fun. That was really, boy, I'll tell you, rare is the time in this wonderful job we have where three guys just get to stop and suddenly we realize we had something there where
something
he was
special.
Telling the story about the last days of Sam, and I look forward to checking all that stuff out from Bill Kinison. And Rob said to me yesterday when we were talking about the interview, he said he sounds just like Sam, which was very, very cool. 25 years. God, that clock on the wall moves fast.
And I do believe in 25 years, the first time any radio show you've been a part of, Mike, has mentioned Richard Widmark.
My father met
in 1970. There was a movie shot in D.C. called Vanished, and I think they made the Capitol disappear. I forget the plot point.
Sounds like a Richard Widmark movie.
But it was a made-for-TV movie, and my father got to hang out with Richard Widmark for a little bit.
Richard Widmark, one of these kind of tough guys. That's the way he was.
Where's my coat?
I have to give you a little bulletin. The O'Maras have no furniture currently.
No furniture?
Yeah. Let me tell you.
That's not a bulletin. Did you get robbed? What happened?
By the way, we've got Rob's going to tell his get his review of Revenge of the
Nerds.
Sickle.
Nerds, yes,
the Nerds.
I got a brief amount of time now because we're running late with the Bill Kinison interview. I wanted to share with you. This is my current status here.
Okay.
All right, here's how it goes. We buy furniture, leather furniture, that's a light-colored leather furniture, okay? We buy furniture because I love it, and it's comfortable, and Carla likes the color, which is just a cream color, a little bit. Well, the fact is that in the 2 years' time that we have this furniture, which to me is, you know, as far as furniture and I'm concerned, it's the blink of an eye.
That is.
Right?
Furniture should last you a generation.
I have my chair out there that I've had since Manassas that made its way down to Florida. This furniture gets just dingy, and I call the furniture company. I think I told that story. They're not helpful. They don't. So ultimately, we have a bad relationship with this furniture. It's not what we want, and it's been going on for the better part of a year. So finally, it's Christmas time, and I say to Mrs. O'Mara, okay, I go online. There's this incredible sale on Amazon with this furniture, and I say, we'll get this furniture. This is the furniture we will get.
Good.
And you're going to get yourself a little sofa sectional thing that we'll put in there. And at that point, I order. I say, it's ordered. It'll be here before Kathy and Paul arrive on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a brand shiny new thing to sit on for Christmas Day. So in the meantime, Carla goes into the fire drill of getting rid of the existing furniture, which is not bad furniture,
the
really.
Purge.
But it's like, so she does a Facebook thing where
we're
she's
sell
going
your furniture,
to get,
dummy.
Yeah, she,
hey, Elizabeth, I'm coming up to get you.
So she's gonna sell the furniture. She will sell the furniture. She gets a guy on Facebook, says, I'll be here Sunday evening. I said, well, what time? He said Sunday evening. I said, that could be midnight. The
True.
Guy stiffs us. He's a no-show. We get two other no-shows. Then we get a guy, a Cocoonville worker who
yes.
we know, who says he wants the furniture. And she said, well, he said he's not, you know, he's going to get his tax thing in January.
The price stays the same as before.
I said, Carla, he's taking it. That's all that matters.
Right.
Get it out of here. We know where he works. We're going to see the guy. I don't care. Get him. I've made deals with that in the rent-a-center.
Yes.
It's rent-a-center. Get it out. Yes. Get it out. That's what we want to do. We want to get the furniture out of the house. That's what we want
to
do.
I think I said that to you, I was like, just get someone to get it away.
Yeah, really, it's the best thing because ultimately you have to just pay someone to take it.
You pay someone to take it. And I said, if he wants to, you know, if he's going to get us the money for the furniture when his, you know, finances dictate it, that's fantastic.
Exactly.
I'm all in. And so I say to Carla, I'm going to the chiropractor yesterday, and I said, I got a 4 o'clock chiropractor's appointment. I said, what time's our buddy coming over? She said, about 5 o'clock. I said, good. You'll see me about 5:30. And she goes, no. I said, yeah. They're coming in. He's going to bring somebody to take it out. I don't like being around that. I don't want to be around when
it's
removed.
And you'll probably get rooked into helping. Could you just grab that?
Well, and there's a reason I'm going to the chiropractor.
Right.
You know, got a little tweak in the back, and sure. I don't want to do that. So I said, let him come in and do that. I go to the chiropractor, and then I go to my little outlet store to look for my discount $19 golf shirt. That's what I buy. Hey, that's my reality, folks.
A brand new shirt and change back on a 20.
You know, you look go to a golf store and price a regular first run golf shirt at a store.
Mike,
it would cost you $60 to $70.
I think we're all laughing at the fact that that's your afternoon, not your reality that you buy discount.
Okay, thank
golf
you.
Shirts.
I appreciate that. Yes, I know. It's my world. It's my world in South Florida. That's what it is. That's me. That's the ABCs in me. Thank
what
you
color
very much.
Did so, you get?
Shut up. All right. Anyway, so I'm making my way back, and I'm like, and Carla wants me to get bottled water at the little machine that we get outside the drugstore to fill our big tank of water,
sure.
Which I love that water. And it's probably got poop in it, but I mean, I like it because it doesn't seem to have any particulates, and I enjoy the water. And I go to the machine, and the machine says sold out. I'm like, bummer. And I get back in the car, and I said, well, it's 5:30 now. I'll head back.
Sure.
And when I get in the car, I check my text message, and Carla says, they got it. It's out. And I'm like, fantastic, because I know the next project is going to be to take the furniture out of the boxes that arrived from the new stuff that has been sitting here for 3 days. And so this is fantastic. And the process begins to assemble the little sectional. And when I say little sectional, this is where everyone should know this. When you are shopping online, if it's for something that's going to go in a space in your home, it would be a really, really good idea to take measurements and not
you
do
have
it.
To measure depth of seating.
Yes. And not do it like the Stupid Sins did it, where it was like, this is good in the picture, let's get it, because it's super cheap.
We've been to your house, there's really no room for sectionals. Sectional, I said, wait a second.
You're making an assumption that it is so wrong, it's wrongy wrong wrong. Super, super deluxe wrong.
Yeah, you should probably prepare an apology.
The first box arrived before the other three boxes arrived. And the first box arrived, and the box is rather small. And I look inside, and it appears to have the back of this sectional thing going.
Oh, so it's like really in pieces.
It's a section of sectional. And I look, and I said, that looks a little tiny. And then we get all the boxes empty last night. Well, there are a lot of boxes here. Let's put it together. Let's see. And they got little metal male ends and little female ends. And Carla says to me, well, which one is which? I said, well, Carla, the female is like the vagina. Okay.
That's how I remember.
That is the receptacle, and the male end is the projectile. Okay? Does that make... Well, that's not misogynistic. I'm just saying,
well,
describing what the furniture is.
Anytime you say receptacle, the alarm goes off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I am looking at this furniture as it's beginning to be assembled, and I am suddenly realizing that... what is that mouse movie with the...
Mouse Hunt.
No, it's the one. No, it's the one where the animated mouse runs around with the British family, and they do all that. Oh,
it's not a mouse, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's a little guy, and Stuart Little.
Stuart Little. And I'm looking at my Stuart Little couch slowly being assembled. And
oh no! I assumed it would be too big.
And we put together this, and the back of the And by the way, you know, for a small apartment, I think it would be delightful. I think it would be wonderful if you were 15 years old, 19 years old, and, you know, my daughter would probably love it. This would probably go well. Oscar could have a sectional. If I pass,
I should drive down this weekend.
I have priced sectionals for my little home,
right?
And the one thing that always got us when we measured, Mike, was the depth of seating where your caboose would actually be. It's not enough for a regular size human being.
It's little interesting you bring that up because I sit on this and I look, I go into the corner piece that where we've got the corner piece assembled. And
so it's
I
like an L-shaped unit, right?
It's an L-shaped unit, and I go sit in the corner piece, and I look over at Carla, and Carla's response is as follows. that's how.
Not what you want to hear. Not what you want to hear.
She looks at me.
It's great for Michael and Carla.
Yeah, Michael and Carla will be fine. But I said, Carla, if we have, say, guests over, I am not comfortable doing the knee-to-knee experience. And obviously, if you're at the V of the L-shaped section, you're probably going to be sitting knee-to-knee.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be knee-to-knee when I'm on the far end and the other person's on the far end.
What you need to do is claim the corner.
We're talking small.
You need to claim the corner early in the night and man spread.
Rhode Island could beat the crap out of this sectional in a war. I'm talking small. Understand they're going to have the whole sectional carpet.
We understand the sofa is small, Mike.
This is the... It's a 10-cent cab ride from one end of the sectional to the other. This is not a big sectional.
Is this something you could maybe repurpose for the patio?
No, this is something that we could...
Box up out. Again! We
could, it's on the front could, porch!
Good camera work, Mike.
Great camera work.
Yeah, the Blair Witch work. Sofa project.
There you go. Yeah, it's gone. UPS is coming back, and we told the people at the company that we're going to buy another one, and so we will not get baked on the shipping.
Yeah,
and then they hung up the phone and went.
Well, we Mrs. Unfortunately, the online element has been removed because now it's crazy. Someone said this time of year the shipping slows down a little bit. And I'm like, why? Why would that be? Duh.
I would think this would be the most efficient time of year.
Right. Exactly. So the bottom line is my sister arrives on Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day, and we're going to be we've got a dining room table, but we'll be sitting there having our pre-Christmas dinner cocktails on beanbags. That's the way it's going to go. And the moral of the story is...
And he's a little brother, right? Yeah, so they walk in.
Use a tape measure. Use a tape measure.
Yes! Do what you can do.
The work.
For your sister, and when she gets there, show her a picture of a sofa.
Yeah, I'll show her a picture. I got your picture right here. Hey, we'll take a break, and when we come back, Rob Spiewak, you went to a movie last night.
I did.
With the whole fan family, didn't
yes,
you?
We did. We had four seats in a row, four Spiewaks right in a row.
That's really exciting. I want to hear all about Star Trek War of the Side.
The Search for Popcorn.
That's it. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, mates. Did you hear the latest bonus show?
Ah, Schmoll, it was a cracking good one. Yeah, can you believe what Mac did this time?
Oh, yeah.
Is he that a bleeding idiot?
Hey, guys, what are you going on about?
Schmingo, we're talking about the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Have you heard it?
What the bloody hell is a Mike O'Mara bonus show?
What? You mean you aren't subscribed? Yeah, don't be a git, Schmingo. Gotta subscribe to be in the know. Schmoll got me a subscription last year as a Gary Krimble gift, and I was just chuffed about it.
What goes on in your mind, man? Look, act naturally and purchase a Mike O'Mara bonus show subscription today. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus packages banner at the top of the page. Oh, all right, I will. And so will all the good little boys and girls listening to this record. Right, lads, back to recording. Hit it, Schwan.
Don't be a troll, man. Be in the know, man. Go buy the bonus. Don't be a douche.
Oh my God! Who is the author of that one?
EQ, Eric Quick. It's one of the most beautifully produced things I've ever seen. Thank you, Aaron.
Wow, that's the bonus show promo. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I feel tremendously guilty telling you about Harry's because I love the product so much. But I come to you today pre-Harry's. If you looked at me, you could see the fine gray stubble, and I really don't feel like I'm myself today. I was putting furniture boxes out on the line. But Harry's makes the perfect holiday gift. It really does. I love Harry's. I've been telling you about it for a long time. They're offering gift sets that include German-engineered five-blade cartridges for a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel that is the best I've ever used. It smells amazing. And a special limited edition winter chrome or emerald green handle. They're beautiful. And to make it special, you can personalize it with engraving. What a great holiday gift and a great value. Harry's has great stocking stuffers for everyone, maybe even you, my friend. As a special offer to our listeners, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/TMOS. This offer is only available for the holidays. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Shipping cutoffs end this week, so act now and get your gifts delivered in time. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/TMOS right now. That's harrys.com/TMOS. And Rob Spiewak went to the cinema, and I know you were very, very excited about Star Wars and Return of the
Last Jedi.
It's Return of the Jedi.
No, that's no. That was 1983.
Ah, of course.
But this is The Last Jedi, the second installment in the third trilogy, episode 8. And I'd done my
Duke
best.
Duke Skywalker and all that?
Yeah, stuff. Duke Skywalker. He owned Larry King's favorite restaurant.
Right, okay.
Duke's.
Right. Obi-Wan Tanabe?
Obi-Wan not in this. No spoilers, but no Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's his name? Obi-Wan not in this?
Obi-Wan not in this. He was the next to last.
Where
Jedi.
Did you take the film in?
The Cobb Theaters in Leesburg. It is the
That's closest. A good one.
It's a good
My
one.
My mother-in-law Classy. Likes that one. That's the real nice one, isn't it?
It is one notch below the Alamo, but they do have a bar, which is nice.
Yeah, Linda says she likes it better than the Alamo.
I do too,
because
actually.
It's got kind of it's like a more grown-up theater.
I like it better than the Alamo because there's a lot of, I mean, I appreciate the serving of food to you at your seat in the theater, but I don't need to see a lot of people taking in a heavy meal during a motion picture, and there's a lot of ingress and egress of people. That bothers me.
I've been to that Alamo in Ashburn, Virginia a couple of times.
Loud and one, Mike.
I've always felt a little ill at ease because when I go to the movie and I'm going to eat, Carl and I one time really got our eat on, and it was some sort of heavy movie. I forgot. It was like a really dark, dismal film, and you know, people are walking out like with tears in their eyes, and they look at our seats, and like we've got, you know, leftover French fry boxes and stuff like that. Yeah. Yum, yum. Yeah, I like to watch it. I think it might have been American Sniper or...
Oh, God.
No, what's the Wahlberg one where Lone Survivor?
Oh.
We went to see Lone Survivor, and I'm eating like a steak and cheese.
It
doesn't
get any worse as, you know, you're watching like the boy in the flannel pajamas, and you're writing a note, need more nacho cheese. I appreciate the gimmick.
The last guy died. Oh, man, this is delicious. All right,
I appreciate the Alamo gimmick, but there's a lot going on. I like to have a couple beers and then go in and actually watch the movie.
Okay.
And because I was late getting my tickets, we had four seats in the front row.
Oh, God.
However, at this theater, I've been at theaters where that's a deal breaker. It ruined the movie The Astronaut for me, the Sandra Bullock movie, because that was a sellout too.
Yes.
But this wasn't bad. It was okay.
Why don't you just punt and say, we'll wait for the next viewing or showing, because the front of a theater, I don't care if it's okay. It's just not the way you should watch a movie.
I don't know. I really liked it. And also, Robert was very concerned about having this movie spoiled for him. Robert is on a Star Wars thing right now. And he said, Dad, I'd really like to go see the movie soon. And he doesn't ask for much. Okay. So I went in. I got tickets for the early
show. So
it was
passable sitting in the front row?
Not
was,
bad at all.
Was
not
acceptable.
Bad at all. The movie is gorgeous, and I really
it's
do.
It's delicious.
I mean, the effects and the way it's just got a really good look to it. And there's space stuff, and there's stuff on spaceships. Why
you
is that funny?
You are the worst. Space stuff.
Did you just say you went to a Star Wars film and there's space stuff?
Let me finish, if that's
Boy,
possible.
Boy, you are the new Kevin McCarthy. I'll tell you that right now.
No,
that
because I'm going to actually say something bad about the film. That separates me from Kevin.
Right. Space stuff.
There is stuff that is set in like the space, with the spaceships flying in the orbit and all that. But then there's also stuff.
You should listen back to this.
You
review.
Should shut your face. I'd like to have a front row seat to your execution.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But I know it'll be sold out.
There'll be death stuff and blood stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and stammer stuff and misused words and mispronunciation stuff.
Come on. Right. Stop it.
But there's also portions that are set in spaceships and then also stuff that is set on planets. There are so many different textures of settings that it's a really beautiful film to look at. That's what I'm saying.
Who's the main star of the show?
The main star is, Luke Skywalker is back. That's not a spoiler. Everyone knows this because he was in the last
Princess Leia's in this one.
And
Carrie
she
Fisher.
Is fantastic. But then there's also Finn and
Poe.
Was
it sad to see Carrie Fisher? Was it sad?
It wasn't sad. There is a, well, I won't, it's not really a spoiler. There is a dedication to her in the credits, and that is sad because it's so sweet. It's very, very nice.
Is it a verbal one or is it like a crawl? Or
it's a part of the crawl. It's part of the crawl. Okay. Stick around for it. It is the movie overall is among the best of the Star Wars films, but here's where they blow it. They insert jokes where they don't need to insert jokes, and it gets a little cutesy at times, sort of like a an Ewok factor. Remember how the Ewoks were too cute in Return of the Jedi?
Some people said that, yes.
Yeah. So that's, I feel that, but I also see the merchandising happening right
how'd
before
my How'd
the
family like it?
Everybody loved it. Everybody, four consecutive thumbs up from the whole family. Very, very good movie. Long movie. Probably good that I did not have three beers before the film.
How long?
2.5 hours.
The worst feeling in the world. And now that I'm elderly, the worst thing in the world is having to take a whiz in the middle of a film. I've moved into that new zone of being an old person that I make a point of doing a pit stop before I go into the theater.
I did too, and I had
I never used to think about that in my young days when my prostate was going la 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 la
la la la. I did hit the bathroom after the film, but without urgency. But probably another beer would have changed that scenario. There would have been pee stuff.
All right, but you give it on a how many Spiewacks do you give it?
Out of a 5 possible Spiewacks, I give it a strong 4.5. You will
four
not be disappointed.
4.5, that's a rave. That's awesome. So if you're keeping track at home, Rob Spiewak raves, it has space stuff and planets.
Yes.
That's the review for that.
Hey, how about this? Two things that you will like. Some of it was not set in, but filmed in Ireland. And for the first time in any of the Star Wars movies, there's a casino.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is it an alien casino?
It's great.
See,
it's so
that
great.
Might actually get me into the Irish aliens.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. You rolled another crap. Get away from the table, Seamus.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills, including why was Dan O'Brien wearing a suit yesterday? I did not get a satisfying answer. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
97 Wave. Hey, folks, it's the most wonderful time of year. Yes, that's right. A brand new Star Wars movie is out, and we will play Star Wars music this week on Rob Radio. But wait, there's more. We also have some very rare Beatles. We have some behind-the-scenes Sinatra times two and the best Christmas music ever made. Join me Saturday morning on The Wave, 97.1 FM in Ocean City and 971thewave.com worldwide. Come on by. I'll leave out some milk and cookies for you. And you don't even have to climb down my chimney.
Rob Spiewak!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, I read to my son almost every single day, and I've done that. He was part of the 1,000 book club, which is how many books you can read before kindergarten. And the interesting thing is, even though we've reached the 1,000 plateau already, he won't be starting kindergarten until his 16th birthday. So I think that's special.
He's really, really red-shirted.
Kids like books. They adore books that are all about them. That's why the books from Wonderbly are so amazing. Wonderbly has one-of-a-kind personalized products that you design and make in minutes. Not just a gift, but a personal one-of-a-kind creation. Perfect for Christmas, baby showers, birthdays, or just because. Beautiful books, beautiful illustrations, truly a keepsake. I've made these books myself. They're easy. They are fun. Check out the entire range of personalized books, great for all ages, at Wonderbly.com. Lost My Name for kids 0 to 8 years old, My Golden Ticket for kids 5 to 12, and My Christmas Snowflake for kids 2 to 8 that's got 9 family members that can be included in the story. Personalized for your entertainment. Go to Wonderbly.com and enter your little one's name for a full free preview of their story. Enter code TMOS at checkout and get 15% off your choice. It's wonderful. Visit Wonderbly.com and we love them. More snow for you guys, right? Snow coming today?
Yeah, not much snow, but here's the thing. It's been so frigid for the past couple days. Everything that falls is going to stick, and it's coming right at rush hour today. So they're saying it could be dicey out there.
Yeah,
watch the roads.
And we don't handle snow well.
No.
We just haven't gotten any better.
We don't like snow stuff.
And
I have to admit,
$44
at
the toll, by the way. That's the high, the new high. $44 is the new high.
To get like the 66 access road?
As a rule, I've been doing a running average, and when I get to the toll road split, it's usually about 7:45.
Yes.
Okay? And I have the choice of going on the Beltway or taking 66. It is normally, for me, about $11, and the time saved, 4 minutes.
Not worth it.
But I will say this.
So they played us again in D.C.
Traffic is lighter on the main road.
Pony and I agreed that traffic has been better since they've done this.
So maybe
because
they're
of rubes. Rubes are doing
it. No, they're not necessarily rubes. They might just be rich people that want to go, can afford
the 4 minutes
doing that
is
every
like,
day.
No big deal.
I want to go into Washington, D.C.
But
today.
That's the point. You want the rubes to ride so you can have a nicer commute.
Yeah.
So has it been dramatic?
I don't want to get happy, but over the past 2 weeks, traffic has been better than it has been this time of year since we've moved to the district.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
I'll take
good.
It.
Well, that's
I'll
good news. It. Then tip of the hat. We dilly, pitch about
dilly.
Things.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. Dilly dilly. Dilly dilly. Dilly dilly.
Hey, Rob Spiewak, I want to give credit to Mr. Rob Cox, who sent me one of the great bat videos that I've ever seen. Did you see it online? Have you seen the bat getting a sponge bath?
Yeah, I want to tell everyone on Facebook a message, all right? Cut that out. Because I'm getting it from everybody, and you're
Rob's
tagging me in
bats.
It. Hey, you should be, and I'll tell you why. Because this is true. Bats
they lay their eggs.
They come down, they get in your hair, they lay eggs in your hair, and you go crazy trying to get them out. And bats are evil.
Amazingly cute. There's this.
It's adorable.
Rob Cox, thank you for sending me that video of a lovely bat. Looks like a medium sized bat. Actually, quite a large bat, really.
Maybe it's a fruit bat.
It has the face of like a little black chihuahua.
No, it doesn't. It has the face of Satan himself.
And it's got a pacifier, and the lady's like sponging it down and washing its little
leathery
wings.
The creepiest thing about it, the sound that it made.
Yeah.
No. I have it here. It's very
okay. All right. Here we go.
10. Only 10.
Damn
10 days.
It.
Get on
Let's
Amazon.
Bring him in.
10.
10. 10 days.
I only got 10 days more.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
did you hear what the man said? Only 10 more shopping days of Christmas.
Sorry, Flav.
Hey, y'all, what's up? This is Darius Rucker. Wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, boy.
Okay, sorry, I gave it 3. I'm very
Mike. Have you
sad.
Done
well, for
your
the three wise men?
Right. Have you done your Christmas shopping?
No, Carla's really kind of picking up the slack on that one. It's really tough to get out there and buy gifts for others. Cutting into my tea times.
Well, what if you had someone that needed a gift that was a well-priced golf shirt?
All right, now you're mocking
that's
me.
So
no,
true.
No, that's a tribute.
You're mocking me, Rob.
That's
I won't take that from you.
Hey,
that's not appropriate.
I'm not mocking you. This is Christmas, a time to be joyful. You should
stop
get back.
Being an ass.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Thank you. All right. Anyway, moving right along. Why did Dan O'Brien wear a suit yesterday? Just out of curiosity.
I think you should ask Dan O'Brien.
Because he's here. He's in his house.
I didn't like his answer. It's like, well, I just want to start a new day. I want to turn over a new leaf. And so isn't that what you said, Dan?
Is he spoken riddles?
I said something along those lines.
What the hell does that mean? Why were you wearing a suit? Nobody wears a suit unless they're going to a job interview or they're trying to, make an impression on somebody. So once again, I will ask you publicly, why did you wear the suit yesterday?
That was the first time that I had an interaction with Chris Freights, and I wanted to put my best foot forward
there
and
it
look
is.
Good.
There it is. That's fine.
Yes!
That's it. I accept that. I accept. You know what? I like that attitude.
Yeah.
Look at more people would have that attitude.
Yeah.
We all basically wore the same pajamas we wear to work every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah.
By the way, Mr. Freights, can I just, Dan, I love you. Thank you. This is a great segue because I want to tell you that Political Persuasions is rocking.
And it was a great one this week.
It hit yesterday, and it is so much fun. We break down so many different things, and he knows everything about everything. I just scream and yell. And that combination is, it's gold, Jerry! It's gold,
floated
Jerry.
Out of the studio yesterday.
Oscar, good. How are we doing? How well do we
Not
need to do?
Not enough people are listening. I'm happy
no,
you mentioned something.
Yeah. I mean, really, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Come on.
Dilly dilly.
I mean, dilly,
no,
dilly,
really.
Dilly.
What do we do? What do we do to get people out of their comfort
zone? We have to
zone?
Cancel it. I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to cancel political persuasion.
But then, we'll bring it back.
Thanks.
No, I mean, Oscar, you got me, you know, slaying the dragon now and doing these extra shows. So my question to you is, yes, how do I drive people to participate and listen to political persuasions? Well, I need 5,000 of our 35 yes. to 40,000 to take their time and go listen to political persuasions. That's all I need. I really, really do need this. You know, come on now. I'm not Marcus Serta. I'm Mike O'Mara. Yeah. Give me a break here, please, for the love of God.
Have you ever done a political podcast?
Come on.
Come on.
My God, know this, that if Marcus Serta ever had your audience, I would not be having this conversation with you, because
okay,
Marcus
understand.
Serta has a fraction of what you have.
Yeah. Well, no, but I want to get people to listen to this show, because not for me, but Chris Freites is a real DC political guy, and he brings this talent, and we're you know, we killed it yesterday. I want people to hear the show.
Do me a favor. Can you cut out their mics and just have mine and Pony's on, because I'm getting some sort of weird feedback.
Okay.
Right?
I was afraid Dan might pipe in.
No, Dan sucks. All right. Not in that manner.
Well, no. Mike just said he loved Dan.
We are running out of time. Go ahead.
Okay. This is it. You just said what you need to say. You said that we had fun. We didn't get too wonky.
It does not get wonky.
The show is hitting its stride. Dan does not suck. He's actually here to suck the marrow of political persuasions. He wants to help out on the show. That's why he dressed up yesterday so he could talk to Chris Freites and say, any busy work you have, I will start working on. Talk to me, right?
Well, please, this weekend, check out Political Persuasions. If you've never listened to it, you're going to love it, and I've done my job.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Easy.
Subscribe on iTunes. That's it. And bon appetit and Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Would it kill you to anybody else to wear a tie? I'm going to wear a suit on Monday.
That's a great idea.
You look great. Yeah. You look great dressed up.
Yeah.
I will wear a suit, too.
It's not a Me Too movement. You just look nice.
My birthday suit.
Shock jock.
We'll take a break, and Oscar Santana is in studio. He made it to work today, and we're going to actually have Oscar's take
when we come back from
the Mike O'Mara Show.
Catch up on all the shows of the More Network with OmeraCast. This week, Marcus Serta talks with Melissa Booker. Or is it Missy Booker?
Why don't you make up your mind?
Of Portland, Oregon, who made a startling discovery about the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
All of us are neurotic in our own special ways, but I love how their neurosis blends together so well.
Share your neurosis with us. Contact Marcus on the OmeraCast fan page on Facebook or on Twitter at OmeraCast. OmeraCast. Share the neurosis and the fun today on the TMOS app, on iTunes, or at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Pro Flowers. It happens every holiday season. You have people on your list that you won't get to see, and sending a card, this doesn't feel like you're cutting the mustard.
Right.
Well, sending a beautiful bouquet from Pro Flowers can express your feelings in a way that no card can do. It's a sure thing. I recently sent Pro Flowers to Mrs. O'Mara just because, and although she will not let me go off on an extra day, it made the day feel like Christmas, and I was her Santa. Ho, ho, ho. A bouquet or plant from Pro Flowers is perfect because it's not the same old traditional gift it. It says so much more. Try the best-selling candy cane roses, a perfect option for a holiday gift, a December birthday, or an anniversary. Personally, I love their classic mini Christmas tree that comes with lights and ornaments. You can't lose, because no matter which bouquet you send, our listeners get 20% off on any of Pro Flowers' bouquet or plant of $29 or more. Pro Flowers gives you more bloom for your buck, guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. Plus, you get to pick the exact date your flowers will arrive. To get 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more, go to proflowers.com and use the TMOS code at checkout. That's proflowers.com and code TMOS. And now, it's time for Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
A review and comment on the news of the day that may or not may affect you is only our Bolivian below here that can do it. The opinions expressed are solely Oscar Santana's and not represent the views of the Michael Mara Show, its listeners, or the majority of right-thinking citizens of the United States. And now, Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Mike.
A new survey asked people what age they were when they stopped believing in Santa. And I have the results for you.
Right
here in my hot little hand. Between age 8 and 10, 38%. That's how when they stop believing.
Eight and 10.
let me see, 25% between 5 and 7, 15% of kids in middle school.
Oh, wow, that's just sad.
He's named Barry. He believes in Santa Claus.
Come on.
What's it coming down the chimney now?
Put out the cookies.
Younger than 5, 11%. I hope that's not my kid. I want him to go to at least 6 or 7.
Yeah.
High school.
What?
Hi, Rob.
Hey!
6%.
There was actually a dust-up in my family because my aunt revealed the truth to me and my mother blew her stack.
Really? How old were you? Now, Rob Spiewak's working with me for 25 years. There's the tee, there's the ball. So how old were you when your aunt revealed it to you?
17.
Funny age.
Thank you.
Number had to be funny.
I think the odd number works.
18 wouldn't have been as funny
not
as
Not as
17.
Funny. 16, not funny either.
I was never fooled at any age. 5% people say they never believe. That's probably because they had a nasty relative. What's your take on this, Oscar?
Okay. This millennial society of... I'm special. Santa's coming to me. The tooth fairy owes me $20 per tooth. This is what's ruining the foundation of our country. Okay. We need to sack up and tell our kids what's what. There's a nice time between being a father and using Santa Claus as a tool to parent.
Yeah, terrorism.
Yeah, once you're done with that, let's say around 10, 11, because they're going to be told by the internet or somebody at school, nip it in the bud and say, look, I've been lying to you this entire time. You were a terror as a kid. I used it to scare you to be a good boy or good little girl. So let's make it right now.
Did you know you made a pun?
No.
Sack up.
Ah,
you see, like Santa Claus.
Hey, I get that. That was a better answer than I expected when I set this up here. Ladies, Oscar.
Oscar's
back
take.
Back in June, you're listening to Oscar's
Take. Oscar's
Take. Take, Oscar.
Eat cat, eat straw cocoa.
back in June... Post brought back Oreo O's cereal a decade after it disappeared from shelves. And apparently, people really liked eating cookies for breakfast again because it's about to get some company. Post just announced that they will be making two more cookie cereals, Nutter Butter and Chips Ahoy. And they'll be in stores before the end of the month, which is kind of perfect because it means you can gorge yourself on them before New Year's resolutions kick in.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, Oscar?
It's our lazy palates. It's the vegans, the new vegans of the world that need more fun cereals to take down and pretend they're being healthy when they're not losing any weight. They're just eating more of what's not healthy for them.
Mike, you don't need to wave. You don't need to wave.
Hi.
like the mom on Gilbert Grape.
I ran into... I ran into
a poor lady.
One of
looks like a ball sack.
One of my neighbors, and she said that she was becoming a pescatarian. She was proud to tell me this, and I said, "Well, you know, it's too late for her because she's so old, right?
Right.
B.
What you said about me.
B.
It's too late.
B. You're just making it harder for yourself. If your chips are on the table, you bet on black. You got to ride it out.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. That's very sensitive of you. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, when you were a kid, did your parents make you wait until Christmas morning to open your presents? And now that you're an adult, are you like, I'll open presents wherever I want, whenever I want, and there's nothing you can do about it? According to a new survey, 23% of people say they can't wait until Christmas morning to open the gifts. They start busting them open on Christmas Eve. The survey also found 96% of Americans celebrate Christmas. And based on the demographics in this country, that means there are plenty of Jewish people, Muslims, atheists, and more who are getting in on the holiday. I welcome your take on this on Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Generally, when I was a kid, we'd wait till my tío Jaime or tío Humberto got drunk enough to get on that Santa suit and pull out the presents because in my Latin culture, we would open them, the presents at midnight, right?
Did they fight on the picnic table?
They did. They did. But it would really matter on how many Heinekens or Coronas were ingested because it could be anywhere from 12 to 2 a.m. when Santa would come because sometimes he'd get backed up at the ABC store.
What a touching childhood memory that is. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, a new study found that overall men are happier than women at pretty much every age. There's only one exception. Women are happier than men at age 85 and older once their spouses are dead. Why? The researchers think it would be because the first time in their lives, this is when women don't feel like they have a million responsibilities weighing on them and they can finally relax. Well, that is depressing. Merry Christmas. But apparently men are happier than women for most of their lives. That's
Mike, I would say that this new we're going to break the glass ceiling movement will eventually change this this line of thought.
What? Get the alarm ready.
Where,
yeah, just in case.
Where I, while that may be true right now, and your poor husband that's passed away from some sort of cardiac arrest because he's trying to figure out how he's going to take care of the mortgage and what's left of it before he passes, and now you la-la-la with his insurance. You know, the balloon payment that comes to you that you can live life and never work again.
Window into the soul, isn't it?
What I'm
happy about is that with women now making almost as much as men and working their way through the workforce and now taking CEO jobs all over the place, that they will know the plight of a man that's just trying to make his way.
I'm with you with that one. I like that one. Thank you. That was a good one. And finally, Oscar, a 21-year-old Huntington, West Virginian named Creo Bishop tried to burn down a strip club around 3:30 in the morning on Wednesday because he wanted to keep his girlfriend, Michaela, off the pole. She's been a stripper there for about 6 months. Apparently, he wanted her to quit, but she wouldn't. So he shows up in the middle of the night after they closed and starts a fire near the front door. Then he stood across the street and watched it burn.
Let it burn.
According to the police report, someone who happened to be passing by called 911, and he yelled at them to mind their own business. That's the last story for Oscar's Take today.
Oscar.
As a WVU grad, there was an establishment undergrad.
That's where it is, right?
That's right.
Lady Godiva's. We knew a friend or two that was making their way through college, literally, on the pole. And we would go and support it on Friday nights. And
that shows a good spirit.
Yeah, I mean, hey. Wow. And I would say that maybe two or three of my friends had dated her throughout the 4 years of school, right?
Wow. Never at the same time?
Never at the same time.
Good.
That's nice.
But know this, that if anybody's going to burn down a strip club, it's the owner. It's not going to be a patron because you should know that they've got enough security there to know that if there's fire, someone will get to it ASAP unless they're involved.
That's it. All right. So if you're going to burn your strip joint, you've learned. See, another learning experience. Yeah. That's Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Learned that in Ozark as well.
You know, and actually, when I got that story, I didn't realize that Oscar actually probably frequented the place the guy was trying to burn down.
Now you got to send them a new 8x10 to hang on the wall.
We'll take a break and come back with Rob's Magic Audio Vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I hate to bring it up, but Rob and I have been discussing like Carson nostalgia with the show. And a lot of people will talk about his distance from people and how he was he's kind of a guy that kept to himself and he wasn't a real personable guy off air. That's okay because Letterman was the same way.
Had but that what snuff film.
He didn't have a legend. Stop that.
It was Crush videos, I thought.
Yeah.
It was not Crush videos. He didn't have clown porn. The thing about it was...
Put on that nose.
That's some wild stuff. Listen, I have a hamster.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
If you've ever rolled by a newsstand and seen a great magazine that you wanted to get, you said, I can't afford that. I don't want to. I'd like to get them all. Every single magazine you need. Next time you walk by a newsstand, just realize you can get all these magazines if you get Texture. What is Texture, you ask? I'll tell you. Okay, well, why are you interrupting? I'm not. Tell them what Texture is. You're not going to tell. Yes, I am. Shut up. You shut up. Merry Christmas. You too. Texture is an app. Not only do you get a peek, you get the whole magazine right on your smartphone or your tablet. Unlimited access to over 200 additional premium titles like The Atlantic, The New Yorker, Wired, and a bunch more, over 200 titles. Right now, you can try Texture for free. Texture is totally searchable, has daily recommendations, and exclusive interactive features, videos, and more. I'm lobbying Texture right now to get my new favorite magazine, Measure the Furniture Correctly magazine.
That's a great one.
But I don't know if it's going to work. Just imagine having your favorite magazines and their back issues anytime, anywhere. To start your Texture free trial, go to texture.com/TMOS. If you choose to continue, podcast listeners will get Texture for just $9.99 a month. That is over 30% off the listed price. There are also great gift options available for the holiday season. Go to texture.com/TMOS to start your free trial today. That's texture.com/TMOS. Let's open up the audio vault for today, December 15th, Friday.
Friday means fruitcake.
Oh, fruitcake. Oh, that's right, fruitcake. Hold on a second. There it is. Fruitcake time. I'm really, really excited. This, let me tell you about this letter today. This particular fruitcake letter is probably the best one that I've ever received. The
you
only
love it,
problem
do you?
Is I didn't receive it.
I have it right here.
Hold on a second. Let me see if it's up there. I don't see it, Rob. I don't think you sent me a fruitcake.
Maybe letter. It was packed up with the furniture.
524 yesterday from administrator.
All right, hold on just a second. I'm going down to that right now. I'm looking. Oh, admin. Hold
yes.
on just a second. I'm going to grab it for you right now. Here we go.
No worries.
I love this. No problem.
Nothing
at all.
Like giving away fruitcakes during
the holiday
season.
These are exclusive fruitcakes. Man,
the last one I received was number 7. Is that who we
That's
have?
That's it, Matt. Woo! Yes.
All right. My name is Matt, and I've got a forehead like a drive-in movie theater. But I'm a good S, so don't bust my chops too much. If I were to receive a fruitcake, it would give me the energy to dig and play. I will really blossom, you know? I'll take the fruitcake to movies and baseball games, you know, fun stuff. For me, your show is like heaven. You goofy bastards are just about the best thing I got going in this crazy world. That's from Matt Stevens. That's awesome.
What a good letter, I told you.
Let's Matt's from Fairfax area. Let's call him and see if he gets his fruitcake. Just one today, correct?
Just one, single.
Very exciting. Calling Matt right now. Two front first names, Matt Stefan.
But one's enough. They're that tasty, Mike. You don't need
yes,
to.
They're delish. See what happens. Very exciting. It's three rings.
Hello?
Yes, looking for Matt Stefan, please.
Excuse me?
Matt, it's Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Matt, can you tell me why I'm calling?
Because I want a fruitcake.
Yay!
Yay!
Yes, you did.
Oh, fantastic.
I know. Isn't that great?
I'm gonna eat the whole thing and get a bellyache.
Yeah. Great letter with the something about Mary. We appreciate that. Rob Spiewak will be sending that delicious fruitcake out to you post-haste. And you have a merry, merry Christmas, Matt.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Merry
Good
Christmas.
Letter. Funny, funny letter. And now, without further ado, since we gave our fruitcake away, an abbreviated audio vault, Rob Spiewak.
Just a quickie. You actually discussed this on Political Persuasions. And by the way, episode 3 is now available. People should get it.
Get
it's
on
a good
it.
One. Chris Freites, from formerly of CNN, and yours truly, breaking down the Roy Moore. If you got a political junkie in your family, if you can't get enough of the political discussion, differently.
Could I say this? That even if you want to get... If you don't know what the F is going on, this is brought to you in a manner that you can actually digest, be entertained,
yes,
and
right.
know what's going on.
You get
Hope you like it. It's a good one. Episode 3 up now, Political Persuasions. Listen to it this weekend, please.
If you want to hear a really good, hard-hitting newsman, this is the person you want to cover this story. Michael Strahan interviewed Omarosa yesterday
on
Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about, was she thrown out? Did she resign? Was she fired? Did she scream and run into the quarters? Here's her line, and Michael Strahan always gets the truth.
I resigned, and I didn't do that in the residence as being reported. John Kelly and I sat down in the Situation Room, and we had a very candid conversation. And I wanted to make the one-year mark that was one of the goals that I set out to, and then get back to my life.
So you resigned, you weren't fired as
no.
being reported.
And you know, I like to hear all of these interesting tales, but I have to tell you that they're 100% false. And one of the things that I'd ask of those people who are making those assertions is, where are the pictures or videos?
She went on to say that there were many things in the Trump White House that made her, quote, uncomfortable. If she had held a piece of poster board over her head that said, I'm going to be shopping a book deal, it couldn't have been any more obvious. She was teasing without saying anything.
We talk about it a little bit on Political Persuasions. By the way, you're not going to be recorded if you're fired in the Situation Room because they don't allow any recording devices of any kind in the Situation Room.
Yeah.
So this gets more and more interesting. She claims April Ryan, I believe it is, from the Urban Radio Network, has a grudge, and she's the one that broke the story. You're not going to hear much more of this because she's gone and she's out of there. But sounds to me like she got canned.
Reality TV.
Now, I love Robin Roberts anyway, but after the interview, this is what Robin Roberts said. This made me like her even more. Robin Roberts.
She said she has a story to tell, and I'm sure she'll be selling that story.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, she will. Bye, Felicia.
Are you familiar with the the movie Friday with the character the character Felicia? Bye, Felicia.
Wow. That is
nice
a diss of disses right
that
there.
That is awesome.
Love it. Net neutrality, and that was repealed yesterday. And
bad day.
Free
bad day
market.
For anybody that does
we'll
what
take
we do.
It.
This is a pretty good encapsulation of it from Stephen Colbert. I enjoyed this.
The FCC voted to repeal net neutrality. Yeah. You see, net neutrality, what that really means, it means repealing regulations that prevented your internet provider from blocking certain websites or slowing down your data. Now they can, and that's wrong. Because the only thing that should slow your internet speed is the number of people also sitting at Starbucks working on their screenplays. By killing net neutrality, internet providers can basically do whatever they want, as long as they disclose to their users what exactly they do to web traffic. So, get ready for more fine print from your internet provider. At least you'll have something to read while you wait for websites to load.
So that's where we stand now, but I thought that was a pretty good take
on it. Yeah, a long way to go, a long way to go. This is not over yet. There are going to be lawsuits. This is before you see the big companies taking advantage of this, you're probably going to have a lot of litigation. So, not overnight, and you know, it's going to be a long time. Just another reason to vote for some other people.
Yeah, lock in your unlimited plan.
And before we go, this made me think of your son, my godson, Oscar's godson, who portrays the little drummer boy in A Christmas Pageant this year.
That's correct. Next week we're going to that.
But Jimmy Kimmel brought up something that really this has always bothered me, and thank God someone is shedding some light on it.
Do you feel the holiday spirit enveloping you like a slanket right now? Christmas is 10 days away, which means we only get to hear that Mariah Carey song 75,000 times. And it occurred to me last night as I was putting my daughter to bed that the little drummer boy, you know, the little drummer, this kid brought drums into a baby's room. He just strolls in and says, shall I play my drums for you? And starts pa-rum-pa-pum-pumming, which is completely unacceptable. Where were this little drummer boy's parents when those were going on?
Yeah, little drummer boy's a dick. That's what he
come
is.
Come on, drummer boy.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app 24/7 on the TMOS stream. You can get it all day, every day. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. The Sam Kinison documentary will be hitting on December 19th at 10, and also the uncensored version at midnight on Spike TV. Our thanks to Bill Kinison for an enlightening interview about the life and death of Mr. Sam Kinison. Really fascinating stuff. We appreciate that. Don't forget this weekend, download Political Persuasions. This is our big weekend push. We want you to listen to that show, and we'll be back with another brand new one on Monday as we ramp up to Christmas, everybody. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait a second. Hey, you. Yeah, you. You're the rube that hasn't finished your Christmas shopping, right? Way to go. But it's not too late. Amazon has everything. Just be sure to access it at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Or click the link on our website. Or click the shopping cart on our app. So quick, so easy, and so helpful to our show. Nothing changes for you, but it means you're supporting TMOS. So shop Amazon. And Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.